Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 9. The Gospel of John, chapter 9, this morning. Our theme for this month is praying for God's direction. We all need guidance in our lives. And it's important that we have God's guidance upon our lives. And here in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1 to 12 this morning, I'd like to note some principles concerning guidance. The title of my sermon is The Guidance We All Need. The Guidance We All Need. Let's begin by reading verses 1 to 3 of the Gospel of John, chapter 9. And then we will pray. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. Lord God, your mercies are new every day. And we ask now once again that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would guide us and lead us into truth, and teach us, Lord. Teach us how we can glorify you more so as we follow your guidance upon our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Where do we look for guidance in our lives? A child should look to his parents. A wife looks to her husband. A student looks towards his or her teacher. There are many means of guidance in our world. Some people would say, well, just follow your emotions, how you feel. Some people looking for guidance will read a book on a given subject. For some, they'll turn to an individual that they admire or respect. Some would be so foolish to read their star sign and think that will possibly give them some guidance. Or some would be more foolish and pay money and go visit somebody that makes their living out of a stack of cards, tarot cards. Where should we turn to for direction in our lives as Bible-believing Christians? God guides us through His Word, through the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God. The prophet Isaiah predicted concerning the Messiah that he would open the eyes of the blind in Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 7. The Lord Jesus often healed the blind. And this miracle here in John chapter 9 is notable because Jesus has just proclaimed himself as the light of the world there in chapter 8, verse number 12. And we find within this passage of Scripture this blind man receiving sight. And this is a public demonstration of our Lord's claim that I am the light of the world. He gave sight to a man born blind. And as we study the restoration of this man's sight, I'd like for us to note some principles concerning guidance, spiritual guidance, God's way. Note then verse number 1, it reads, As Jesus passed by. My friend this morning, let's not allow this opportunity to pass by in learning principles of guidance from the life of the Son of God. As Jesus passed by. The first lesson I'd like for us to note concerning the guidance we all need is, number one, we all need guidance in our lives. We all need guidance in our lives. If you don't believe you do, well then that's what we call pride. But may I remind you, we all need guidance in our lives. Note in verse number 1, the Bible teaches us that as the Lord Jesus passed by, that he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And just like this man was blind from birth, we are spiritually blind and dead in trespass and sin, the Bible teaches us. And we need God's direction. This man sat and begged, according to verse number 8. The Bible teaches us he was blind from his birth, and he was known as the individual that sat and begged. Well, what else could you do as a blind man? There was no social security back in that day. You can only sit and beg. What a fitting picture of you and I. The Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those that believe not, lest the light of the gospel of Christ should shine upon their hearts. We all need guidance. This man was born blind, the Bible teaches us. He was blind from his birth, the Bible teaches us. And a fitting picture of the spiritual condition of mankind. That we are spiritually blind. We are dead to God. And we need God's direction. We need God's life upon us. The Ethiopian eunuch, as he read passages of Scripture out of the book of Isaiah, Philip the evangelist said to him, Do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch responded by saying there in Acts chapter 8, verse number 30, how can I possibly understand except somebody guide me? And then the evangelist went on to preach unto this man the Lord Jesus Christ there out of the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Following Saul's conversion there in Acts chapter 9, the Bible teaches us that Ananias was used of God to be the medium of which Saul's sight would be restored. My friend, concerning guidance this morning, first and foremost, we must all be humble enough. We need to humble ourselves and admit that we can't live without God's direction upon our lives. Let me tell you why a lot of us are making mistakes, because we haven't consulted God's guidance upon our lives. Listen to me this morning. Some of us are struggling because you're not consulting God's guidance upon your life. And some of us are in a hole right now because you have made some choices in your life, and therefore you are reaping the consequences of those choices. But from here on end, I'd like to encourage you to have a fresh start. And let's admit the fact that we are all in need of guidance. No matter our age, no matter our level of maturity, all of us need God's guidance upon our lives. I'm thankful for the testimony of Saul of Tarsus, that following his conversion there in Acts chapter 9, verse number 6, he said, Lord, he confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and then he went on to say, what wilt thou have me to do? No wonder God used him in a mighty way. That's no coincidence. Outside of his confession of the Lord Jesus as the Savior, the Messiah, the next phrase is, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? No wonder God used him mightily. No wonder God's power was upon this man of God. My friend, we all need guidance in our lives. Lesson number 2. God has a purpose in the guidance he provides. Did you catch that one? God has a purpose in the guidance he provides. Now, as the Lord Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from birth, the Bible teaches us. and his disciples being with him asked our Lord a question. There in verse number 2. And the question was this: who did sin? Did this man sin? Did his parents sin? That he was born blind? The disciples asked, to us it sounds like an unusual question. Who is at fault here, Lord Jesus? They were more concerned about discussing a theological issue than expressing mercy towards this blind man. Who is at fault? Is it because of his own sin he is blind, or is it because of the sins of his parents that he was born blind? See, it was traditionally believed amongst Jewish people and strongly taught by the Pharisees that conditions like this were a result of sin within the family line. So it wasn't an unusual question at all. It was quite commonly believed amongst the Jewish people that if anybody to be born blind, surely there was somebody that sinned within the family line. And this is God's judgment upon the coming generation. Surely somebody has sinned, they said. That's why he's blind. Who sinned? And the Lord Jesus responded by saying, neither this man nor his parents. Now these words do not contradict the universal sinfulness of man. The Bible teaches us there is none good, no, not one. For all have sinned and have all come short of the glory of God. He wasn't contradicting the principle of sinfulness within the human race. Instead, the Lord Jesus meant that this man's blindness was not caused by some specific sin. Instead, the problem existed so that God would display his glory through the situation. And that's what he said here in verse number 3 to these disciples. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. My friend, this morning, God has a purpose in the direction he provides in your life. We all need God's guidance, do we not? And the guidance that he provides, God has a purpose. The Lord Jesus said, no! He is not blind because of sin within his family line. He is blind for such a time as this because I'm going to do something very special in the life of this man. I'm going to manifest my glory by providing sight to this man. So likewise, as God provides direction in your life, in my life, God has a reason for it. And God will have a purpose. Haven't we so often, at the end of a provision, haven't we often said to ourselves, wow, I can see why God did that. Have you done that before? I can see why God allowed that. I can see why God prompted me to do that. So we often look back and make such a statement. See, it proves the principle that God's guidance. If we allow God to guide us, God will have a purpose in that guidance. He will fulfill a purpose. And God said to these disciples, listen, I'm going to manifest my glory in this situation. God's guidance in our lives isn't purposeless. He will work in some way. I think of Nehemiah. God guided him back to Jerusalem. To what end? To rebuild the walls. That wall that surrounded that great city. God's guidance in the life of young David as he was confronted by Goliath, bearing in mind that the chapter before he's already anointed king by Samuel. And then 1 Samuel chapter 17, we find that God leads David to take on Goliath. God had a purpose in that. God was leading him on into his perfect will. And my friend, if we allow God to guide us, then God will accomplish His purposes in your life and in my life. Thirdly, this morning, note then verse number 4. It reads, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Lesson number 3 this morning concerning God's guidance is that God's guidance is for a specific time. Now don't miss this one. God's guidance is for a specific time. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's been well said, the difference between a good sermon and a great sermon is timing. And that's true, and I've learned to accept that. I often say to myself, my heart of hearts, as I reflect upon people's comments, and often people say, well, that was a good sermon, Pastor. And that's good, but boy, I'd love to hear more so, that was a great sermon, Pastor. And the difference between a good sermon and a great sermon is timing. And when God specifically answers the cry of our heart through the preaching of the Word of God, that's the difference between a good sermon and a great sermon. And that's not wrong. That's not wrong. I don't mind you saying, Pastor, that was a good sermon. Oh, but Pastor, what about if it's not a good sermon? Say nothing. Or say, I'm praying for you, Pastor. That can be code for, Pastor, that was a shocker. Maybe next time. God's guidance is for a specific time. Brethren, this morning, when we fail to discern and obey God's guidance upon our lives, we limit the work of God in our lives. God wants to use you. Yes, you. Oh, but Pastor, how can He possibly use me? Oh, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. God's further direction in our lives leads to new opportunities for God to work in and through our lives. See, God doesn't work on our timetable. We need to get onto His schedule, do we not? The Lord Jesus said back in John chapter 4, please. John chapter 4, verse number 34 and 35. John 4, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. For they are white already to harvest. So the Lord Jesus made that statement to affirm the fact that He said to His own disciples, listen, I've got a work to do. And it needs to be done right now. Lest we miss the harvest. My friend, God's guidance, listen to me, God's guidance is for a specific time. And if you and I don't heed to the guidance of God, we might miss out. Some of you have missed out opportunities to serve the Lord. The Lord's passed by and you've missed the opportunity. I'd like to plead with you this morning, don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss the next opportunity when God prompts us and places a desire upon our heart that has been there before, but yet because of our lack of diligence and unwillingness to obey, the Lord has passed by. The Lord Jesus said, I'm going to do a work, and the time is now. I need to work while it's day, because night cometh when no man can work. So God's guidance, my friend, is for a specific time. Don't miss it. There in Acts chapter 13, as Saul ministered within that local church, God the Holy Spirit laid His hand upon this man of God and said to him and Barnabas, I've set you apart for another ministry. We don't read of any delay, but yet we find that these men were ordained to the gospel ministry and off they went. I think of Queen Esther there in the Persian Empire. It was a critical time. And she said to Mordecai, I want you to go and call for the people of God to prayer and to fasting. And I will set a time aside to go before the king and plead mercy on the behalf of our people. See, God's guidance is for a specific time. Don't miss it, my friend. If we continue to close our ears to God's guidance, we might miss God's perfect will for our lives. And I'm absolutely convinced that many of God's people are missing God's perfect will for their life. Because their timing, they're out of whack. They're not prepared to get onto God's schedule. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2, the Bible reads, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you're here this morning and you've yet to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, I plead with you, don't miss the opportunity today, because you might not have a tomorrow. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again from the dead, and if you will repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be saved today. This might be your last opportunity. God's guidance is for a specific time. Don't miss it. Lesson number 4, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord for guidance in our lives. We need to keep our focus upon Him. There in verse number 5, the Lord Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Light stands out. Light attracts. Light becomes a point of reference. The lighthouse is a wonderful illustration of that fact. A lighthouse directs us away from possible danger. So likewise, Christ can do the same in your life and in my life. As we keep our eyes upon Him, He will protect us from possible danger ahead. It's not difficult to see how we can take our eyes off the Lord and lose our way and even get lost a little when it comes to God's direction. And Jesus Christ is our spiritual compass, always pointing due north. Remember what our Lord said to Simon Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Why did He make such a statement? Because Simon Peter did not speak the very words of Christ. And in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse number 10, we are told, as sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And we as Bible-believing Christians need to keep our eyes upon the Lord, because there are all these characters out there that are wanting to provide guidance and they will lead you astray. And it's just so important that we keep our eyes upon the Lord. We need to be careful concerning guidance. Guidance that will move us away from God. God's guidance is always in harmony with His Word. Don't try to tell me that God's leading you to another area where there is no Bible-believing church. That's not of God. Don't waste my time. That's nonsense. God's greatest concern for you and I is our spiritual condition. So why would God lead you anywhere where there is not a church of like faith that holds to the Bible? That's nonsense. That's contradictory to the Word of God. But Pastor, no buts. What's the most important thing to God for you? Is it your salary package? Is it your perks? Is it the scenery? No, it's your spiritual condition. That's the most important thing. We need to keep our eyes upon the Lord, do we not? Then we move on to verse number 6. This is an interesting principle I'd like for us to note from this story. Look at verse number 6, please, of John chapter 9. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Our Lord took saliva, mixed it with dirt from the ground, and in making clay, he put it on the eyes of this blind man. Now, why did he do that? Well, traditionally amongst the Jewish people, saliva amongst the Jews was believed to be a remedy for afflictions of the eye. They believed that. So as we read this portion of the story, it really makes little sense to us. It doesn't make much sense to me. Does it make any sense to you? That our Lord would take some saliva and mix it with a little bit of dirt and then make a little bit of clay, so to speak, and then he begins to paint the eyes of this blind man. My friend, listen to me. God's guidance sometimes doesn't make sense initially. Have you found that? I found that. God's guidance sometimes doesn't make sense initially. When God said to Joshua and to his men to march around that wall so many times, then the final day so many times, then the walls would come crumbling down. But I'm sure that it didn't make much sense to Joshua. And when the disciples were confronted by these thousands of people that were hungry, and the Lord took a little boy's lunch and said, "You organize the people and we'll give thanks and we'll provide some food for the multitude." I'm sure the disciples scratched their head wondering, now what is he possibly going to do here? What about Noah? He builds an ark in a day, when there had been no such thing as rain. See, God's guidance might not make sense initially. Did you get that? God's guidance might not make sense initially. Now, bearing in mind, it will not contradict the Word of God. If it obviously contradicts the Word of God, you're on the wrong page. If you do something that violates the principles of God's Word, you're on the wrong page. But if you're not doing anything that violates the Word of God, but yet it doesn't make sense, it can still be the guidance of God upon your life. See, we need to be careful that we don't box God in. I think we're often guilty of that, aren't we? We box God in. As to how He will provide direction in our lives. When, how, through whom. See, brethren, we need to obey God even though we might not understand. Now, how do you think that blind man felt? Put yourself in his situation. Here's this man touching him and putting dirt on his eyes. How would you have felt? He's probably thinking to himself, this person has just said that he's going to manifest his glory. And yet he's putting mud on my eyes. See? It didn't make sense. When Elisha, the man of God, said to Naaman, "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River," it didn't make a whole lot of sense to him either. And my friend, sometimes God's guidance might not make sense initially. It leads us to our next point is, and that is that God leads us one step at a time. After the Lord anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, the Bible teaches us in verse 6. Note then verse number 7, and said unto him. I get the impression that, oh, that's better. Oh, these multifocals, it's trying my patience. I don't think the Lord Jesus said to this blind man, now, sir, just have a seat. Just relax. Everything will be okay. Now, what I'm doing now is I've just taken some of my saliva and I'm just mixing some clay for you. Just relax. You're okay. Now, it might be a little bit cold initially, but just don't worry. It's my spittle. It's not the disciples' spittle. I'm clean. And here we go. Just wait for it. You're ready for it. Are you ready for it? Here we go. A little bit cold. Is it okay? Bible teaches us our Lord didn't say a thing. Because then he spoke. That implies to me the Lord said nothing concerning what he was actually doing. Gave no indication as to what he was doing. He just did it. And then he said, all right now, I want you to go now and I want you to wash. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Which is being interpreted, sent. And the lesson I'd like for us to note this morning is this. God leads us one step at a time. Now, human nature is human nature. We would all like to have God's direction in one package, would we not? I would. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we can go through life? Even a year at a time would be great. On January 1, for God to send us a little package and he's got it all outlined. This is how I'm going to lead you. This is what I want you to do in 2010. That's not how it works. God gives us a little bit of guidance at a time. It's little by little. When God said to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac, God did not give Abraham all of the details. But he gave him enough to get him going. But once they got to Mount Moriah, God gave further details. And obviously, Isaac had no idea. Because he said to his father, Dad, you've got the fire, you've got the wood, but where's the offering? He had no idea. So God's direction might not make sense initially. But brethren, the reason being is because God knows how much we can handle. So God leads us one step at a time. Jesus placed clay on this man's eyes. Interestingly, Mr. Matthew Henry said, man was made from the same substance, the dust of the earth. Genesis 2:7. Jesus probably used the clay as an aid to develop this man's faith, not as a medicine. And Jesus making of clay broke regulations against kneading clay on the Sabbath day. He was actually working. And then the Lord Jesus told this man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, where was this pool of Siloam? Well, it was located at the southeast corner of Jerusalem, where Hezekiah's tunnel channeled water into the city walls from a well-known spring. This man was sent to wash. And brethren, as we consider the guidance of God upon our lives, we must be mindful concerning the fact that God leads us one step at a time. Just take that one step. One step at a time. Then once we take that one step, then God will give us a little bit more instructions. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his ways. Psalm 37 verse 23. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God gives us directions. One step at a time. And last but not least this morning, we must obey. We must obey the clear directions of God. So I think so often we fail to fulfill God's perfect will for our lives because we're not obeying the obvious. In verse number 7, the Lord Jesus said to this man, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." That wasn't subject to interpretation. That was fairly straightforward, was it not? And then in verse number 7, it goes on to read, "He went his way therefore." Could you imagine how he must have felt? Now, we're not told, but I would guess he probably had somebody guide him. Maybe one of the disciples, possibly. I'm not sure, but somebody obviously guided him. He'd never seen the pool of Siloam. Didn't even know what it looked like. Wouldn't have known where it was. I'd like to think one of those generous disciples would have offered and said, "Come on, mate, I'll take you down to the pool." But I'm not sure if that's how it happened. I would dare say he probably struggled and he probably asked, "Somebody lead me to the pool of Siloam," and eventually somebody took him down. The Lord Jesus didn't say, "Go wash and you will be healed," did he? No, he didn't. He just said, "Go and wash." Now, I would dare say, if the Lord Jesus had said, "Go and wash and you'll receive your sight," now how would you have felt? I'd say you'd probably be in unbelief. What has this dirt on my eyelids got to do with sight? But the Lord just said, "Go and wash." So he obeyed by faith. He did what he knew to do. And brethren, this morning, we as Bible-believing Christians, we often miss the bigger picture because we're just not taking those little steps. You can say amen right there. You're not taking those little steps. But what if? But what if possible? It doesn't matter at this point. Go and wash. Do what you know you should be doing right now, and God will take care of the rest. Obey what you know you should do, and God will provide the rest of the guidance. And then verse number 7, the Bible reads that he went his way therefore and washed. He just did what he knew to do. What was clear, what was obvious, what God had clearly revealed to him to do. And then, note what happens? He came back what? Seeing. God healed him. He experiences sight for the very first time in his life. And it was noticeable because people looked upon him and said, "Isn't this one that sat and begged?" Verse number 9, some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he. I'm that one." Then he went on to give his testimony. In verse number 11, he said, "A man that is called Jesus." He wasn't convinced at this point concerning the deity of Christ. He said, "A man called Jesus." In fact, he doesn't confess him as his Savior until verse number 35. And verse number 36. And then a climax is in verse 38 where he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. He simply passed on what he knew. He said, "A man called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, told me to wash in the pool of Siloam, and I did that, and here I am, I've got sight." But God provided sight to this man. What a wonderful illustration of how God wants to provide sight for you and I. The guidance we all need. Listen to me carefully. God is not playing hide and seek with you concerning His will for your life. I get the impression from the life of many of God's people that are struggling with God's will for their life. It's as if God is playing hide and seek. God doesn't play hide and seek. It's a good game for the children. But God doesn't play that game. It's not His game. He wants to reveal His will for your life. But the problem is, we're not taking those little steps. We're not obeying Him in the little things. And therefore, God cannot fully lead us to the pool of Siloam and give full vision. I'd like to encourage you this morning concerning the fact that God has a purpose for your life. We all need guidance. God has a purpose. God's guidance is for a specific time. Don't miss it. We must keep our eyes upon Him. God's guidance might not make sense initially. God leads us one step at a time. And we must obey the direction that God does provide. And then God will lead us to the next step. Some wonderful lessons from the life of this man that was born blind. And God said, I'm doing this that I might manifest my glory in your midst. And my friend, this morning, as you and I allow God to guide us, then He will be glorified. Because we're in the center of His will. How can you give God greater glory than to be in the center of His will? May God help us to follow His guidance this morning. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.